Look anywhere, it's all good. Let's go to Exodus 27 first. Been there for a little bit, just going back and forth to it. Talking about light, letting your light shine. In Exodus, light was essential. It was essential. And this day and time, light is essential. It's essential in our lives. It's essential as a church. It's essential that we would give God glory. And it's his light that we're reflecting. Like I said last week, the moon reflects the light from the sun. And what we're doing, we're reflecting his light. And look what it says in Exodus 27, verse 20. It says, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn always in the tabernacle congregation without the veil, not in the Holy of Holies, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord, and shall be a statute forever unto their generation on behalf of the children of Israel." So it's a statute that they had to have the light burning. That Motel 6, they use it, "We'll leave the light on for you," you know, that kind of thing. And God is light, the Bible says, he is light. And but to hear, you got to remember the devil's light too. The devil's light. Now take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians. We're going to do some, let's looking at light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The devil's light too. And he's a false light. He's a false light. That's why when you get ready to make a big decision in your life, you better seek God with all your heart and say, "Lord, don't let me get messed up. Lord, don't let me get messed up. God, I'm trying to do what's right." I remember when I first got saved, I remember riding around in a trash truck, and I listened to Olive Green. I listened to all these guys. And I had a guy working with me. His name is Ronnie Damron. And Ronnie, he's been telling me he's going to come and see me. And Ronnie, we got into race car, you know, doing this track, running the track and all. But Ronnie Damron was working with me, and he was telling me about the charismatics, you know, speaking in tongues and all that. I didn't know nothing, man. I didn't know no Bible. I couldn't even read. But I wanted to know what was right, and I wanted to know the truth. And if a person's seeking light and they're saying, "God, direct me and protect me from anything that's going to mess me up," and that's a good prayer to pray. God, protect me from anything that's going to mess me up. God, protect me, because you know me. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. I'm prone to go off the track, you know, down the wrong road. I'm prone to do that. Nobody gets up and they say, "Okay, I'm walking I know which way I'm going. I'm walking the narrow road," without the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God. You got to have the Lord's guidance. And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God gives light to his step and light to his pathway. So I remember praying, "Lord, don't let me get messed up." I listened to Olive Green. I listened to all these different preachers. And I prayed, "God, don't let me get messed up. I know the devil could mess me up quick." And I used to say this. Now, it might be hard for some of y'all to say this, but I used to tell God, I said, "Lord, you know I'm stupid." And really, come down to it, we're all stupid. Amen. When it comes to doing what's right. And I said, "Lord, I'm stupid. I don't know how to live right. I don't know how to do right. I don't even know how to talk right. And God, I pray you'd help me." Amen. And that's humbling yourself. The Bible says God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If you'll humble yourself before God and say, "Lord, I need your help. I need your guidance. I need you know, get in the Word of God." And some of y'all got an advantage where I couldn't read it, and you can. So in 2 Corinthians 11, the Bible says, let's read verse 1. "Would to God ye bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." 2 Corinthians 11, 1. "For I am jealous over you as with a godly jealousy, for I espouse you to one husband," talking about the church, "that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ." The Word of God is really, there's some hard places in the Bible, but if a dumb thump like me could get it, and it's God makes it simple, and he gives you light to understand. He'll give you light to understand his word. And it's this simplicity that is in Christ. It's that a child could understand. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or have if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And it says, for I suppose that I was not a whit behind of the very chiefest apostles. For though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. I have committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted. He humbled himself. He abased himself, talking about the Apostle Paul, that they might be exalted. Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. That's a missionary type thing. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I have kept myself from being a burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I loved you not, God knoweth, what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And says, so, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So the devil is an angel of light, and he can deceive you if you're not seeking God honestly. If you're not seeking God for you know, Lord's will be done. If you're praying God's will be done, and Lord, I want to serve you, I want peace of God in my life, I want you to guide me, then you're opening yourself up to receive anything. You're opening yourself up to be deceived. It says, he says, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And we see a lot of that on TV. You see a lot of those guys deceiving people and taking the money. So preachers get a bad name. All the preachers want is your money. That's all they want. That's all they want to get is your money. They want to get your house. And that should not be so about Christians. It should not be so about preachers. The devil is a deceiver and tries to give you false light. And, you know, you say, you know, a lot of times people want to know something. They say, well, what should I do? How should I live? What should I, you know, and they start asking, but they usually ask the wrong people. They ask lost people, or they'll ask somebody that's not really living for God like they should. And they start comparing themselves with somebody else that's not really living for God like they should. You shouldn't compare that. You should say, Lord, you see, God's looking for truth in the inward parts. He wants, and he'll give you light. When a man's seeking light and God's working on the man's heart, he's looking for God to work in his life, and he wants to have peace, he wants to have joy, he wants to have those things, and God will give him light to walk in. And as a family, I need light to raise my children. I need light to love my wife. I need light in my life to be able to love God. So the devil's a deceiver and tries to deceive people. And if you're looking for, you know, a way out to do whatever you want to do, and say, well, I get out of here, I'm going to do, you know, as teenagers, they get up, I'm going to show you how to live like the prodigal son, and you'll mess up your life. Amen. You'll mess it up big time. And you'll make such a mess, you'll be sitting there, where did I go wrong? Where did I go? You know what? You rejected the light. You reject the light that God's given you. And the light that comes from the Word of God is important. That's why we're always saying, read the Word of God, read the Word of God, read the Word of God. Light, light. A doc used to say this. He said, light rejected becomes lightning. When you reject the true light, it becomes lightning in your life. It just terrible. Take your Bible, look over to Psalms 18. How many say, preacher, I want to walk in the light? I want to walk in the light. I want light in my life. I don't want to live in darkness. I want light in my life. Psalms 18, look at verse 28. Back up 25. Check this out. You need to mark this in your Bible. I marked it in my Bible. It says, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Are you merciful to people? God says, if you'll be merciful, I'll show myself merciful to you. He said, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. But thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks, for thou wilt light my candle. Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. When you have light, man, you ain't gonna stump your toe. You ain't gonna run into things. Take your Bible and look at Psalms 27. He says, with the merciful, I'll show myself merciful. So I'm reading that, and I know I didn't have mercy before I was saved. I always wanted judgment on people. I always wanted to do that. And God says, then I'll be that way with you. You better have mercy on people. God will give you light. Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is, I remember hearing the roll-off girls singing, the Lord is my light and my salvation. They would sing the Psalms. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Take your Bible, look at Psalm 36. Back up to about verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. Thou excellest in thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In that light, in thy light shall we see light. So if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So light is important in my life. It's important in your life. You want light of understanding. You want light to be able to figure out things. I need light, man. I need light on, and that the older I get, I need more light to be able to read and be able to see things. The older I get, why? Because my eyes start, as you get older, they start getting dimmer. And you need more light. I like it bright, man. I like the light bright. And I want to be a bright and shining light for the Lord. The Bible talks about John the Baptist being a bright and shining light. So let's go take your Bible, look in Acts 26. Paul the Apostle comes along, and he's preaching, and he's telling King Agrippa what God is going to do. Acts 26:13. He tells his testimony about the light that happened in his life. And let's back up to look verse 10. Which things I also did in Jerusalem. And talking about killing saints, killing Christians. Look back up verse 4. Let's read about Paul a little bit. He said, my manner of life from my youth, which was the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. He's preaching to them. And I was at the place where Paul was giving this speech or preaching. I was there. Me and my wife and Glenn Stocker and all, we was there in that it was like a little half coliseum or amphitheater where Paul's standing before King Agrippa and he's preaching. We stand there. And man, it was pretty cool. I went all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom. It wasn't just the Kings there, but there was a whole crowd behind it. A whole people came just to hear judgment and see things that was going to happen to people. They came to watch the judgment. So when they announced Paul was going to be there and how he was going to give his defense, I mean, that amphitheater filled up. It was right by the Mediterranean, and it was filled up with people listening. So Paul's giving his testimony to them, and he tells his testimony. And the greatest thing that you have as a Christian when somebody starts arguing with you about the Bible is give them your testimony. Give them your testimony what God did for you. And that's the greatest thing you can do. Say, hey, I was lost on my way. I start telling people where I came from. They go, you? You came from that? Yep. God's mercy. My manner of life from my youth, which was the first among my known nation at Jerusalem, knoweth all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, and they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived, a Pharisee. And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto all our fathers, on the which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God would raise the dead? I can see Paul, King Agrippa, Festus, he's walking along, he's preaching, and he's looking, and he's talking. Why does this thing seem something great to you that somebody would raise from the dead? He's giving his defense like a lawyer in front of all this. I mean, you could see hundreds of people there. It was all concrete. And it says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and having they, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Paul was, I mean, brother, he was a accessory to murder, accessory. I gave my voice against him. You read over in the book of Acts, chapter 7, Stephen, he held the coats. He gave his voice against to kill him. He says, which things I also did in Jerusalem, of many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them that journeyed with me. And he's talking about the brightness of the sun. You know what the Bible calls Jesus Christ? It calls Jesus Christ the Son of Righteousness. And it calls him that in Malachi, S-U-N, the Son. He's called the Son of God, but he's called the Son of Righteousness. Brightness, brighter than the sun. It's in Malachi. Look at here. He says, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise, stand upon thy feet. Now he's telling this, and all this crowd's behind him. And he's looking at them, standing there on the judgment seat, and preaching to them. What an opportunity. God said, I'm going to put you, how would you like the Lord to tell you how you're going to suffer all your life and what you're going to have to do to stand before God and for men? How would you like God to tell you that when the day you got saved? The Lord did that for Saul. He said, you're going to do this? You persecuted my children? You gave voice against them to kill them? He said, you're going to stand. And Paul was willing to do it. Amen. You and I would have ran from it. Yeah, right. I would have said, no way. No way. I'm not going to do that. No way. And Paul went throughout the regions of, you know, Macedonia and Europe. He went throughout and preaching the word of God, being stoned. And I don't know how many times the Bible gives you the account in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We was reading about the devil. The next couple chapters, Paul tells about what he went through for the name of Jesus Christ. You and I, we haven't gone through nothing. Amen. Nothing. Really, compared to what Paul went through, what Jesus Christ went through, we ain't going through nothing. But we complain worse than anybody on the planet. We complain about everything. Man, why, God, why? People, why, God, why? Hey, man, why not? Like, we go through stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. God gives you light. When you're walking with him, he'll give you light. He gave Paul light. He'll give you light when you're going through stuff. So look what he says. He says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise, stand upon thy feet, and I have prepared unto thee for this purpose. Woo! Now, you know what shows me? God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for you. I called a lady this week. She was talking about committing suicide. She's talking committing because she got crippled. And she's talking about committing suicide. I called her up and I prayed with her and I said, look, God's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for your life. Why would you want to waste it like that? Say, Lord, direct me. Help me to be able to serve you in the condition I'm in. God's got a purpose for you. He's got something for you to do. And I told her, I said, there's people that you can reach now that you could never reach before because of what you're going through. Now you can reach them. Yep. You could go tell them, because well, they ain't going to have no excuse. How can they say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You do know what they're going through. That's why you go through things, so you can say, I know what you're going through. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, he doesn't want people to die and go to hell. And he has to fix his where, because the people won't listen to you unless you've been through what they've been through. That's the way people are. They'll say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. And you say, well, I don't, but God does. But sometimes when you're going through it, they'll say, you know exactly. I've had people, I don't know how many times, they say, well, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm being. You know what's going on. And they'll point to me and say, you know. I say, yeah, I know. I know he's great. I know he'll take care of you if you trust him. Amen. He'll take care of you.
Yeah, amen.
I want light. Light rejected becomes lightning. I want light in my life. I want him to light my pathway. I want him to direct me. And people reject. You know what they're doing? They're rejecting the word of God. They reject the word of God, reject the word of God, reject the word of God. And then they don't have no light at all. Yeah. And they walk in darkness. A child of God should never have to walk in darkness. Right. Should never have to walk. I mean, there's times where you say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm trusting you. And I need you to guide me. I'm gonna take this step, Lord. If you don't open the door, you know, we pray for doors to be open. We pray for light. We pray for them things. Sometimes the Lord says, sit back. It's just like I watch the grandkids and I watch my kids to see what they're going to do. I sit back and watch them. And God does the same thing. He's going to watch you. Amen. Whether you're going to do what's right.
Amen.
And walk in the light as he is in the light. God's given us all enough light. The Bible says he lighted every man that comes in the world. Every man that comes in the world, he's given enough light to come to his son. Enough light that everybody in this world that's been born got enough light coming to his son. Even in heathen nations, they've got enough light. Why? I mean, God gives it to them. Look at this. You ever thank God for light? You ever thank God for your Bible? Thank God for directing your steps. But most people sit around, they sit around and they waddle in what they don't have. And they waddle in darkness and they waddle, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Becky has got that little Skylar. She cries about everything if she don't get her way. And I've started mocking her. So every time I walk in the house and she's crying, I go, oh, and she'll start laughing. She said, you're making fun of me. I said, yeah. I didn't get my way. I'll do that in front of her. She'll laugh. She'll start laughing. I said, that's where you at. Amen. You know what I see a lot of Christians doing?
Yeah.
I brought two pair of glasses in case I lose one. Where was I? In the middle of a rage. Self-pity. You know, I hate it when I get like that. Don't you? Sometimes I'll catch myself in the middle of it and I'll go, Shut up. God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. When things don't go your way, where were we? But rise. Stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. You can't be a minister unless you've been through things. You can't minister to people. Can you imagine if you had a silver spoon in your mouth all your life and never had to work, never had to get any blisters on your hand, and never had to go through any problems, everything was taken care of for you? Wouldn't that be nice? That's heaven.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen in heaven.
Yes, sir.
That's what's going to be. But look what the Bible says. Delivering thee from the witness for things which thou hast seen, of those things in which I will appear unto thee. He said, you're going to be a witness of the things you've seen, things I'll appear unto thee, and delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in them, in me. Wow. That's a purpose, man. That's a purpose. Amen. I'll never forget when I first got saved. And I remember Jack Hiles preached on that duty. He said, you ought to see people whether heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. And a lot of times I'll forget. I'll go out of place and I'll say, man, I never gave a track. I've turned around and go back to give track out, to talk to people and pray with people. Wednesday, I went up to the hot dog house. Whenever I'm up that way, I like to stop at the hot dog house. Get me a chili dog. I ain't supposed to eat them, but get a chili dog with mustard and onions on it, and they got good French fries and a Coke. Man. And I went down to this hot dog house. If I brought all the grandkids, they would take every seat in there. That's how many seats it is. It's like 17, 18 seats. Maybe not that many, but we would take the whole counter. And there was a guy sitting at the end of the counter. And I sat down next to him. And actually, I sat two steps, and then somebody came in, and the Lord pushed me next to him because I was a couple seats away from him. And I went to the bathroom, come back out, and the guy moved my Coke down next to him. And two other guys came in. And I sat down next to the guy, and we got talking. I said, it's a good place to eat, man. He said, sure is. He said, I've been coming here 60 years. I said, 60 years, man. I said, man, that's a long time. So got talking about, he said, I'm a retired cop. I said, really? You retired cop? I said, I'm a retired ex-convict. He looked at me and went, really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm a preacher now. He goes, I arrested a lot of priests. I said, I'm not a priest. I'm a preacher. And I gave my testimony to him how I got saved. He said, that's something. He said, you ever write a book? I said, no. He said, but that's something. And I told him, I said, I've been pastoring the same church for 32 years down in Smyrna. He goes, I know where it's at. I know where your church is. I said, why don't you come visit? He said, I just might do that. So he said, my son lives down there. And we got talking more. And I said, let me ask you something. If you were to die right now, where would you go? Been through three marriages, he said. Got seven kids. We got talking about kids and stuff. Seven kids. And I said, well, wow. Any of them a cop? He goes, yep. The girl, the smallest of them all, she's a cop. So I said, is it Newcastle County? He said, yeah, Newcastle County cop. So anyway, got talking. I said, if you were to die right now, where would you go? He said, to hell. I said, why? He said, I know I'm going to hell. And I said, do you want to go? He looked at me and said, nobody in their right mind wants to go to hell. I said, you don't have to. And I started explaining to him. He didn't have to. You know what? If I had more time, I believe that old boy would have got saved right there. But man, people are in darkness, looking for hope. We talked about that restaurant, how many years he'd been coming there, remembers the former owners and all that stuff. But just sat in there making friends with the guy. Wanted to see a guy say, you say, I believe that was God's direct purpose in my life that to be there. I believe that was it. I believe when we talk to him. So God's got a purpose. But I know how I am. I'm so much in a hurry. I'm trying to get something done. But I have to take my time and think about, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. Okay. Help me. Help me to do it. Help me to do it. There's times where I'm supposed to go preach. I don't want to go preach. I don't want to go. I got some things to do. I'm trying to get done. But I said, okay, God, your business first. Your business first. Most important. All right, we'll stop right there. We didn't even get far. Didn't even get far here.